Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me in the studio for the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one, the only, 6'4", Derek Grice. For those that are joining us in the Extra Hour, don't forget to sit up at your desk, do a little tap-tap on the keyboard before you call the close. Got to work for the boss. Don't forget also that if you are in the carpentry field, crank up your radio so you can hear us over the skill saw and swing that hammer. For the bus driver, turn it up so they all can hear it. They'll be blessed. And on the subway, just look straight ahead. We give a shout out this morning to Texas. Also, we give a shout out to Nicole. Nicole, the Lord is so talking to you so much. I just love to be able to hear about your dreams. And we just pray power, electricity in your area. Good morning. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton and Derek Grice. Oh, my goodness, I want to get started right away. We've got so much time. It moves so quickly. But first, before we get to if you've missed our first hour, you got to catch it. We were talking about some very, important things to be able to encourage you. For all those that went in the wilderness for years, we want to get in contact with you. If you are one of the ones, the fathers, the mentors, the sons that went to the Next Step Father and Son Camping Trips, we want to be able to have you be a part of what we're doing to the world and come in just like Derek. Derek is coming and talking and sharing his heart and where he is now as a man. I mean, he's got a beard and stuff. A beard and wife. I'm his lovely wife and kids and Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. She's real sweet.
Yeah.
Thumbs
fine,
up.
Ain't she?
Oh, yeah. You did good. You definitely upgraded.
Well, the you don't want to miss that. And we also talked about the reality of what happens in an organization versus an organism. When your body, if you touch your body, you can do that right now. Touch your body. And you go, that's an organism. And then you touch, well, you can't really touch an organization, but you can look at one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There is no sensory perception to an organization, but you can see kind of how it's structured. But touch your body again. Okay, that's an organism. The church is an organism. It's not an organization. He says every part of the body is tightly fit together, and we all have to do our work. And much of, God's body parts is held captive right now, and they're not functioning, or you have 1,000 body parts looking at one body part and saying, do it, man, do it. It's like, you got to function. The purpose of the fivefold ministry is to train all the parts up so everybody can do their part in the work. We are like leaning, we got to wake up. I'm going to talk about infant dwarfism in the future. We need to talk about it. We don't have time to be able to do that. But I do want to say this, we're talking about the Father and Son camping trips. And we're going to be talking about, religion in just a moment. And but remember Adam Narvaez.
Yeah.
He's now the police. Lord, we just pray for the community. No, he's a great guy. And when he was young, he always wanted to be the police. I mean, he always wanted to be the police. And so when he came out to the Father and Son Camp Address with his father, Sam, which is now with the Lord, which just loves Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's John's brother. And, he was a little bit littered in.
A little bit.
Not much, though. And he's just like, I want to be security. And we got 1,000 tents all over the place. We got campers everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, we pass out in those events because we're just exhausted. And we thought about, and Adam's running around with his radio going, 10-4, 10-20s, I'm over here, 10-4, I got it. I'm swinging over there. And he's just riding his golf cart all over the place. And he's got his radio talking back and forth to other people who are doing security. And we're thinking, he's so intense. He is on the ball. We can go to our tent.
Mm-hmm.
We can close our eyes and get a couple hours rest before this next huge day starts. We're feeding over 5,000 meals. One day we feed over 5,000 meals in one weekend. And get some rest, because Adam is on the watch. I mean, every 5 seconds he's talking. We had to give him his own channel on the radio.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Was he answering himself? Who was the other person?
I have no idea.
It was Sam, maybe.
Might have been Sam.
Might have been Sam. And so we go to sleep. We had so much trust in his ability to stay over, watch over us and keep us safe, right? You know, it's Adam. Adam is going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us, right?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And so we might have a picture of this. We've got to find that picture. We've got to put this on the VFN TV blog. So we wake up in the morning knowing everything's totally fine, and we go into this huge tent of meetings where we all get together, mm-hmm. and we found Adam sleeping on the stage. He was asleep.
Oh,
we have no idea, but he passed out on the stage. And we're thinking, oh my goodness, all night long there was no security. He was sleeping on the stage. I want to encourage you, Adam, stay awake. Stay awake on the watch.
Yes, please.
That's why I learned how to drink coffee on patrol, man. It really works. It really works. But that was something, wasn't it? It was so funny. It's like we took a picture of them before we woke them up on the stage. So we should be able to have that. And, and it's so cool. Now he is the police officer. He had a lot of training. He started his training at the Next Step Father and Son Camping Trip.
Yep. Amazing. Cool?
You know, we're talking about earlier about religion versus relationship. We're talking about organization versus organism, that we're a body. We're parts of the body, and we have different functions that we play in the body. And you can imagine if you have two lungs, but only one of your lungs is working, then your body is not working to its fullest capacity. If you have a heart, but part of your heart's not functioning, that's normally called a heart attack. and that you're not at your full capacity, because that provides oxygen. You have your digestive system that takes the nourishments that come in and digest it and distribute it to your body. You think like a teaching gift possibly. Or you think about the brain, who's actually firing off neuroreceptors and all these different things to tell your body what to feel and what's going on. All the parts have to function right. And it's amazing how God designs our bodies, that they function right. Because when they get out of whack, you know it. It's amazing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so, but the body of Christ right now, we need to get all back together. We need to come back together again. Sort of like when the word was being prophesied over the bones. Bones, come together.
Mm-hmm.
Joints, come together. Ligaments, come together. Muscle, come together. And skin, come together. And the Lord is calling his body together. Not an organization. He's calling his body together. Then he's going to breathe over us. And we're gonna rise up and do what he's called us to do in the end times of bringing him back. But we got to first find out that we have a role to play, that we have a part. God's called us to be a part. And if somebody's telling you don't have a part, that's a deceptive word, because they're supposed to train you up to do your works of service in the body of Christ. It's the purpose of the fivefold ministry. And so, like Paul said, we got 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers. And listen, you can blame anybody you want to, but you stand alone before the throne of God. No witnesses, no suspects. So now you know. Now what you're going to do about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is a young man. His name is Jefferson Burke. And he put a spoken word, what some people call a rap, a spoken word. This is the first time he ever did it. He was at a secular college, and they had the time where people would go up and write poetry and do these different things, and nobody was, doing anything for Jesus. So he thought, this is my perfect time. He thought, this is his one shot. He's going to never do this again. He's never done it to this point, and he's going to just write it. And he writes it, and it's entitled, Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus.
Hmm.
And when he did it, he's thinking, boy, they're fixing to throw him out, right? He delivered that. And then everybody was just silent. All these kids were just silent at the university. And when he put it up on YouTube, 21.5 million people have viewed it. So we want to hear this first. This is what we're talking about. You know what Derek was talking about in the first hour was his encounter with religion. That's what happened to Jesus when he bumped into religion. They said, "Who are you? What are you doing out here in our parking lot?" You know, and he's going like, "I'm the Son of God, and I came to tell you that the Father loves you and will forgive your sins. Get him out of here, quick!
He's healing people.
Stop him.
Jesus is looking in our cars." Is that crazy? God.
Yeah.
That's crazy, but true.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's what they did to Jesus. And then some people just said, stone him.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, if that was you, if you had a parking lot experience like that, realize that Jesus had it too. Because they didn't want him in the building. They didn't want him because they were scared of Jesus. And the reason why they were scared of him, because he was Jesus. Mm-hmm. And all it is, we talk about this, and you can find this on the VFN TV blog. Practice these words. I was wrong. I mean, Fonzie couldn't say it, but he was an actor.
Yeah.
You know, we can say it. We can say, I was wrong, right? And then we just go, I'm following Jesus, you know? And just be willing to let go of everything that's not God. And so this young man that you're fixing to hear right here, if you're religious, this is going to really upset you. But if you're not and you love Jesus, you're going to go, yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. But you understand, he came up with a single mother. His mother had some mental issues on top of that. And so he had all this, she would drag him to church, he said, for some reason. He didn't know why, because it wasn't, you know. And so he had all this church that never spoke into his life. They never said anything to him. And he was dying. He was going through all this turmoil by himself because his mother was dysfunctional. His father was absent. And this church, this religion, was doing this to him. And now he knows Jesus now. You can tell when you hear it. But you got to hear it because he talks about religion. So here it is. On those 4 minutes, you got to hear the whole thing. You can see the video on the VFN TV blog at vfntv.com and click on the blog. Let's listen.
What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion? What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat. But it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now I ain't judging. I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be onto me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it he called them fools. Don't you see, so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let him in? See, remember, he was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention. How Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage, while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different clans. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man. Which is why salvation is freely mine, and forgiveness is my own. Not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because he took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down his face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, he yelled, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because when he was dangling on that cross, he was thinking of you. And he absorbed all your sin, and he buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, come on, there's room. So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it, because when Jesus said, "It is finished," I believe he meant it.
I think he said it all. Mm. Is that beautiful or what?
Powerful.
Man, that was that was awesome.
Isn't it?
It really was.
22.5 million people saw that and couldn't stop talking about it. You know why? Because that's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. And the thing we can do, we can look at what is and yell at it and say, change. And religion is going to say, what part of don't you understand? This is what we do. Mm-hmm. Or you can be the change you want to see. God looks for a man. Mm-hmm. He doesn't look for organization. He looks for a man like Charles Seymour with Azusa Street Revival. He looks for, you know, a Dowie or a John G. Lake. He looks for an Amy Semple McPherson. It's you keep looking to everybody else to be what God told you to be. It's time for you to be, because you're going to stand alone, just like he's talking about in this. Realize that that if, in fact, that situation is a religious situation, that Jesus does not love that situation, but he loves the people in that situation. And the reason why you're having this experience with God, because God is with you and God is in you, is not because God's in the building. It's because God's in you. You are the building of God. Know ye not that you're a temple of God, that God's spirit dwells inside of you? It's really cool. Every time I get with this person, it's just like, you know, God shows up. It's because he says, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of it. But somebody told you it was the building, the organization. Listen, break free from the religious bondage and begin to abide with Jesus Christ. Begin to hang out with him. Go to iabide.org and find out how to hear his voice. Commit to 6 weeks. You yourself do this. Once you do that, begin to pray like Jesus did. Find out who else wants to abide with Jesus. Let them take the six-week challenge. And then as you guys are meeting once a week, sharing about what God is saying, God's going to tell you what to do. Or you can just wait till they feed you and slide your tray under the bar. Mm. See, I looked in the mirror to see what my issue would be. When I looked in the mirror, I saw that my issue was me. See, God's looking for you. He's calling out your name. But the dilemma is here. You alone have to respond. You have to respond to him. Look, everything is falling around us. Mm. Because he says, I looked and looked for a man to stand in the gap so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land. But he says, I couldn't find one. And people are going, I'm trying to help you find one, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And God's going, why don't you just be one?
Right.
Here I am. Send me. But I've never lived outside the building. I don't know how is there life outside of that? Actually, there's a lot of darkness and we need some light outside of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's time to be the church. It's time to, and you can't join, you really can't join the church. All you can do is be recognized that you are the church, because it's the body, it's the building, it's people, not stucco and whatever. It's somebody who knows Jesus and made him the Lord of their life, and so you just recognize they are, and then you get rightly related to them. You know, Paul said, I warned you day and night, with tears, that wolves would come in amongst your number and even come up from among you. And today's church says, wolves, come on in. We've got big billboards up. Come on in. Mm. Matter of fact, eat the sheep. Hopefully during the process of eating the sheep, you might get saved.
Right.
It's like wrong answer. And that he warned day and night. Listen, we have a responsibility as shepherds to protect the flock, and we have a responsibility to identify the flock that we're supposed to be responsible for. But listen, this whole biblical perspective, you know, as you know, Derek and I were talking the other day, that when you look, when you walk, you just, it's the word of God, that when you do this, you can't do what God's told you to do in a religious format. No. They contradict each other. It's like oil and water. It's like up and down. It's like the two opposing magnetic poles pushing against each other. It's the old wineskin and the new wineskin. You can't obey God and stay in an area where people aren't obeying God. It's not, they may be religious, but you can't, they won't work. And you can't blame them for your lack of obedience. You just need to obey God.
Yeah.
You know, you need to obey God. And if you can begin to do that, we're going to make that available for you. I may have that here on highlights. It's about how you can do this right where you're at, right where you're at. Begin to take that abiding challenge yourself and begin to learn how to listen to God. Begin to spend time with him. Then begin to encourage others after you have to do the very same thing. And then begin to meet once a week in there. And you do this over and over again where you're gathering with the people that are Christians there that profess to be believers. And you'll find out that you'll start hearing from God and you'll know what to do. His sheep know his voice and follow none other. Amen?
Yeah.
Had a preaching moment there. We'll be right back in just a moment.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. Mm-hmm. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does. Mm-hmm. You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org. VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. Man, it's this technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store mm-hmm. for Android phones. So they right. can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it or mm-hmm. you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right.
you know, and the perspective of things going on, and that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device mm-hmm. and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately mm-hmm. Within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today. Pat, there is so much more. Yeah. You know, we have so many things that are out there for all of our listeners and all of our viewers in VFN radio and VFN TV, but we even have more available for them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what it is, you're able to, when you subscribe for free, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You go to VFNTV.com, right? VFNTV.com, and just click on subscribe, follow a few simple steps, mm-hmm. and you're able to log in to some information and teachings and discussions and things. It's just everything. Everything's available to you as a subscriber. It's just simple to do. Just go to VFNTV.com, VFNTV.com, click on subscribe, follow the simple steps, and you will have access to everything available that's here today and all that's even coming tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you as a subscriber.
Welcome back to the last half hour of the Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I got Pat Hamilton with me and Derek Grice. We are talking as much as we can in this short period of time. We're so glad to have Derek with us today, and I know you guys are enjoying him as well. I do want to say in God's News, behind the news, we're looking at on the top pick list for vice president that it looks like on the short list now they have Condoleezza Rice as a possible vice president presidential candidate for Mitt Romney. But us as the church, we got to find out, does she have it right for Israel? Does she have Israel right? Because I believe the last thing that she was doing in Israel, she was working with President Bush to be able to have a division of the land. They were trying to divide Israel. They're trying to come up with a Palestinian plan to be able to have a Palestinian state. And so don't forget, you know, we're hearing the news, but we want to look at God's news behind the news. Find out who the people are, what they stand for. Their viewpoints towards Israel right now is so very, very important. And I believe that Condoleezza Rice, as the Secretary of State for President George W. Bush, was there trying to work out a plan, a strategy. There's a name for it. I can't remember it now. But, you know, our viewers can let us know what it is. But she was working a strategy to be able to have a Palestinian state, which means to divide Israel. And God will come against the nation who participates in dividing Israel. So we want to remember that's God's news behind the news and understanding that. Well, you know, I know, Derek, you know, you're a writer. You write, you know, lyrics and music. But you were sharing with me, you know, because the key to what God's called us to do, you know, is picking up our cross and following him, right?
Right, right.
So tell me, you know, what's God laid on your heart, man?
Well, the Lord's been speaking to me in the past 2 years about this death and embracing the newness of life, you know, in Christ Jesus. So many of us, we come into Christ and we struggle and we go back and forth between the church house and where we came from or, you know, this promised land in Egypt because we're not embracing what it is that God is trying to show us. You know, we're not seeing the full detail. And that it's all about relationship and realizing who he is. You know, a lot of us, we use the word of God and we use church as a peace retreat. You know, but we just go and we retreat. We kick up our feet and we don't serve. We don't know anybody. We don't get to know anybody. And Jesus is just our, you know, our make me feel better fix, you know. And, yeah. You know,
I feel good, Jesus.
Yeah.
We talked about a counseling session with Jesus. You know, you can imagine sitting on a couch going through a counseling session with Jesus. You know, and to what you're saying there, I hope I'm not going to mess your thought up because I want to hear what you're having to say, that, you know, that a counseling session with Jesus, that if you said, you know, I'm having this issue, this is going on, you know, what do you think I should do? And he says, well, I just think you should cut your hand off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm having issues with, you know, looking at this lady or looking at this man or looking at this internet or looking at television. I think you just gouge your eyes out. That's not a feel-good Jesus, is it?
No.
He's saying he's serious about sin.
Yeah.
And then he says this. He says, you're a liar. You are a liar. The Word of God says you are a liar if you say you love me. And you don't love your brother. If you don't know we're family, you don't even know if you love your brother yet. Nope. I mean, if you're calling the police on me, you don't even know me yet.
Nope.
Right? And you would really admire me because I didn't take you out when you did that. Right? Just joking. Not anyway. So you know, understanding that religions told people that you can actually sit by somebody for 10 years and not know they're dying. Not know that they're crying out and going through horrific things, and you can be totally unconcerned with them, and Jesus is not, it doesn't bother Jesus at all. Read this, read the Bible, by the way, just get it, if you get a chance, find, read the Word. And you're going to find out he's going to separate us in the end based on how we responded to that person, people that were around us. Because whatever you did or didn't do to the least of these, you did or didn't do to me. Mm-hmm. And so it does matter that you love them and you love people. And you don't say you love them. You show that you love them. You spend time together. And so many expressions today, it's really difficult. And it's difficult for the ministers that are leading these large gatherings because the people are not rising up and helping them. Or they're rising up to help and they're being told not to help. It's kind of double thing sometimes. You never know. But go ahead. So talk about that.
Yeah, you know, God's just been pouring to me about, you know, just celebrating just that newness of life. You know, there was a point in time in my walk where, you know, I struggled with dying to the things, man, that Christ told us to die to, you know, to lay aside every weight and every sin that besets us. You know, and one thing that lifted a huge weight off of my spiritual walk with Christ is realizing that I am spirit first. Mm-hmm. And that if I sin as a believer in Christ Jesus, it's not me, but it's the part of me that needs to be mortified. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the way it's going to be mortified is through renewing my mind in the Word of God and spending time with my Maker. Mm-hmm. In other words, falling on something sharp. Yeah. That's the movement. We need to fall on something sharp.
That's the only way to die to yourself, isn't it?
That's it.
And it's, you're actually participating in the process.
Solomon said that we all going to the same place at the end of this life anyway,
right?
In a grave.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if we're going to go somewhere, if we're all going to fall, why not fall on the Word of God?
Wow.
Why not fall in love with the Father?
Right.
Why not fall in love with what he already set in place?
Right.
You know, it's so confusing when you see people saying things like, God's called me to start a church. The church has already been started. You know, it started and it's been capped off. Start living, you know. Live for
eternity. How can you go to what you are? All you can do is truly be. And when you get that revelation that you are the church, you quit criticizing that which you thought was the church, and you realize you start being more merciful.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you find out that all those words to the church are to you. When he talks about, you know, you should not have idols in the temple, and you're complaining because somebody has a CD ministry in a foyer or some building somewhere, you find out, oh my goodness, I am the temple of God. And he's talking about the images or idolatry that's in my own heart. He's not talking about some, can you believe it? We turn it into so much of a, that we don't even realize when people have idols in their heart, we're trying to remove the idols out of some building that we chose to gather in. While at the same time, people are gathering in places all around the world, even under trees, and God is moving. And they're not trying to change the tree. It's irrelevant. They're just trying to change themselves or allowing God to change them. That's good, man. You think about it. You know, Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, that which are people that know his teaching and follow him, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. I mean, that's like, you know, you got to participate. You talk about mass suicide. Obviously, we're not talking about, you know, your flesh counts for nothing. It doesn't matter what you do. You know, it just doesn't, it's just irrelevant. You know, he says, the words I speak to you are spirit. The flesh counts for nothing. And so you got to die to yourself.
Yeah.
You just got to die to yourself. And so, well, I was thinking, oh, I'm not dead yet. Well, I think, I mean, it's like, read the Word and go, you know, I just want to walk in the light of your Word. You go up to a casket and you're seeing somebody that's laying in the casket and they're dead. They're dead. They're gone. Their body's there, but they're dead. And to be absent for the body, to be present with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go yell at them, that body. You can poke it. You can call it names. You can talk about its friends and family. It just lays there.
That's the place that we all need to get to.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
I mean, and it's
Pat's there. I'm not there. Yeah, you know I'm joking, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But you know, where the desires of our soul is unmovable and unchangeable,
mm-hmm.
where the only thing that we desire inwardly is relationship,
yeah,
you know, and that we cling to the vine. You know, all the bad things that come off the vine, he'll purge it,
mm-hmm.
because it still bears fruit off the branches.
That's right.
But if we don't bear any fruit at all, If we don't cling to him or to the rest of the branches,
mm-hmm.
we're no good. And the scripture says in John chapter 15 that we'll be thrown into the fire by men.
Man, you're breaking people's doctrines up because they don't believe that you don't have to bear one fruit. As a matter of fact, they even think there's being taught today that if you have a gift, if you can sing, if you can prophesy, if you can cast out demons, if you're a teacher, if you got wisdom that can actually just untwirl the confound ways of the world, that you're exercising your gift and you're Jesus' best friend. But he says, and I believe in Matthew chapter 7, he says, oh, many people are going to come to me like that. They're going to talk about that. And he's going to say, didn't I use my gift? And he's going to say, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. And that's the branches that didn't understand that fruit is what we do for others. That's why you have to love your brother. You have to love your sister in the Lord. That's Jesus. Mm. He says, I'm not unjust. I will not forget the love you have shown me as you help my people and continue to help them. If you're not moved with the compassion about the other people that are around you that profess to be your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you don't even know their name, and you're calling the police on them.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a definite disconnect. And that you got to check yourself. Because, you know, there's one thing about the world. If you look around, if you traveled at all, mankind is very religious. There's something inside of us that God's put inside of us that wants to worship him. But if it's not directed right, we'll worship anything. And look at the people, how loyal they are to false religions. What does that mean? That means you could be loyal to what you perceive as another Jesus.
Yeah.
And you need to get loyal to the Jesus who says that in the last days, I'm going to separate the people, the nations, as a shepherd separates goats and sheep. And the ones who didn't realize that I was all around them, that when I was naked and I was hungry and I was in prison and I was homeless and all these different things, you went into your quote prayer closet and had some relationship with somebody that wasn't me because I was all around you, you know, and you didn't do anything for me. And he says, nigga, when were you hungry? When were you thirsty? When were you in need? You know, I was sitting on the pew next to you for 10 years, you know, they're going to go, oh, I didn't realize that was you. And then he's going to tell the other ones who did love people and were there for people. They're going to ask the question, well, when did we do this, Jesus? You know what I'm saying? Because they just loved humankind. And he's going to say, whatever you did for the least of these of mine, you did it for me. That's Jesus.
Yeah.
That's the Jesus. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves the person that you don't even know yet that you need to meet. As a matter of fact, look to the person next to you. When you go to your gathering, I got a challenge for you. When you go to your gathering, wherever you're going to meet, if you're going to be in a coffee shop, a house, a building, a stucco building, or a crystal cathedral, I don't know where you're going to meet. Or the Superdome, I don't know where you're going to meet. You know, take a moment and touch somebody. Look them straight in their holes to their soul. That is their pupils, their eyes. Well, look in their eyes, because it's nothing there, really. It's a pupil that goes down, and they'll look away from you if you have no relationship, so you got to work with them, you know, in that, and just say, you know, forgive me for not, you know, spending time with you or caring, you know, how's your life going? You'll find out. We cannot do this on a mass scale. We're going to have to break it down and have a relationship with a few people like Jesus did, and then teach those people to have a relationship with a few people, and then just keep that going. You know what I'm saying?
See, there's one thing that, you know, a lot of people have in common in our country that we're all collectively finding out that life is not worth living the way we've been living it.
Exactly.
That's why suicide rates are so high.
Very high.
You know, and we need to get to a place where we do those things, where we really look genuinely, look somebody in the eye and say, how are you really doing?
Mm-hmm.
What's really going on?
And wait for the answer. Don't just keep on walking. Or not in your head, right?
Okay, brother.
Yeah, those are the ones like, oh my gosh, they're really going to tell me. You know, they're looking at their watch, looking beyond you, and, you know, yeah, you're right. It's got to be. And you got to understand, the reward for us is each other. That's the reward. We're missing the reward. When you run and step over people trying to do ministry for Jesus, you stepped on Jesus. You stepped on it. You missed it. That you're supposed to have a relationship with a few other believers that you live your life with on this journey, and people see what you're doing, called the church, and they want to do it as well. And so you share with them the gospel of the kingdom. They receive Jesus in their heart, and then you baptize them, and you disciple them, and you train them up in the commandments of the Lord, do the very same thing you're doing. It's called loving God, loving others and leading others to do the same. And then they imitate you. Like Paul said, imitate me. A lot of people don't want to be imitated because what they're doing here, but he says, imitate me. And they can look at your life and they say, I'm going to do what he does. I'm going to do what she does. And all of a sudden they find a few other believers and lead people to the Lord. And then they meet with them regularly and love them. And it's not hard to do on a realistic scale like Jesus did it. You know, he did it with 12. He did it with 12. And, you know, we're not better than Jesus, are we?
Mm-mm.
You know, and really, like this, like George Barna's book called Revolution, he says in the very last part of that book, he's talking to one of his traditional friends that has a traditional church expression, and he said, the truth is that if I do tell people this, most of them would leave to go do it, and I would have fewer people there. And then he goes, and he says, and what would come of that is my peers, my other people who are doing what I was doing would think less of me. And he said, but then he ends with, but the truth is it's not about my kingdom. It's about Jesus's kingdom. And that's what we got to understand. And by the way, we're going to be held accountable for this. So we need to get it right. This nation is at its knees right now, or at least needs to be going to its knees right now because of the church. It's not because of the world. He says, if my people humble themselves and pray and turn from the wicked ways, then the land will benefit. America is a byproduct of the church who walked right before God. And if we want it to be a byproduct in the future, then we're going to have to get it right. We're going to have to repent. We're going to have to figure it out. We're not going to be able to do it organizationally, you know, because you can't love an organization. Of course I love you. Didn't you see the Christmas memo I put in your box?
Right.
You know, oh my goodness. Well, yeah, I wanted to say this, that we were planning on going to Haiti for a Next Step Outback Haiti father and son camping trip there. We're going to go to the Father's Hand Orphanage that was there November the 1st through the 10th of 2010. And we were all preparing to go there. And the Lord just spoke to us very specifically and told us in detail that we weren't supposed to go there. And that was exactly when that there was a cholera outbreak in Haiti. And they're finding out, there's this documentary that's out right now. There's a documentary that's out right now. It's called A Baseball in the Time of Cholera. And it's about a young boy who's in Haiti. And I'm going to just play for you the trailer to it. And we have it available on the VFN TV blog. You got to see this. That Haiti, what happened was that they've never had a cholera outbreak ever. They've had malaria and other things, but they never had a cholera outbreak. Well, the United Nations came in, which are basically people from around the world who volunteered to be a part of the United Nations, and they dumped their sewage in their drinking water. So the Haitian people drank that sewage in their water in this huge cholera outbreak. You got to see this. And then the United Nations is not even owning up to this. They're not even owning up to this.
Mm-hmm.
And they've suffered great loss. And I want you to hear this, because this young boy, in the process, lost his mother to cholera while they were actually filming this. Just 2 minutes. You got to hear this. Here it is right here.
My name is Joseph Alvins. I am from Haiti. I love baseball.
The death toll from a cholera outbreak in Haiti passed 200 tonight, and thousands more are sick.
The Red Cross and other humanitarian agencies are rushing doctors, medical supplies, and clean water to the region affected, an area north of the capital, Port-au-Prince.
Lawsuits been filed on behalf of more than 5,000 Haitians against the United Nations over the cholera outbreak. It's widely believed the cholera was brought to Haiti by the UN peacekeeping force.
This outbreak is likely to get much larger.
We will fight for the right of poor people, fight for the right, fight to change this unjust system. I'm not afraid.
You've got to see this. It's just so tragic to see what took place. It's a 30-minute documentary movie, be able to explain. The reason why it's called Baseball in the Time of Cholera is the young boy, he loves baseball. And in the midst of all this great loss and great tragedy, they're filming his life and filming his mother, who's making jewelry to be able to provide for the family, his brothers, his father, and their cooking facilities. Because the hurricane, the earthquake already hit them already, and they're cooking on just a makeshift 6-inch off the ground grill.
Mm-hmm.
Their bathroom is just open to everything, but it has like maybe a 4-foot kind of makeshift wall around it. And he's even in the midst of all that, he has this joy in his heart. And they take him to America to be able to show him the baseball and different things that are going on. But while he was there, he gets a phone call from his father, and his healthy young mother dies of cholera. And the United Nations poured their sewage. They have a video of them dumping their sewage, like the Boyette trucks that pick up all that sewage. It was one of those trucks that was just pouring into their rivers, the people that are supposed to come to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to pray for Haiti. We need to pray for the justice in this situation. But there's tragic, tragic loss. And so you can actually see this and connect to it's called UN, United Nations Denies. You can find out about it on the VFN TV blog. It has all their websites on how to get to them, how to be a part of that. It's about a 30-minute documentary movie, which it just helps you connect. Sometimes you just got to see somebody's life to understand they're just like you, and that you got to be there in your heart and praying for them, and maybe got to lay on your heart to participate in some way. Also, there is a Globe missionary that's on there. They're linked to their website on the VFN TV blog that, you know, if you want to connect with them and participate, they're on there as well. And it's the Globe missionaries website that's there. It's Ron and Karen Cockerham that they're there, and maybe you want to connect to them or other missionaries there to be able to help the people right there. It is on the VFN TV blog. It's called UN Denai. UN Denai. It's the movie how cholera spread throughout Korea or Haiti there. And I believe your heart's going to be moved with compassion. And we need to do something about it. We need to pray for the people of Haiti. We'll be right back.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says, and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, mm-hmm. he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established, so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, mm-hmm. you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, right. you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow, because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's mm-hmm. or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God,
mm-hmm.
and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God,
mm-hmm.
that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that as you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function, Now, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, mm-hmm. that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but it's not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how it controls God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. There's biblical daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in His Word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, mm-hmm. discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, mm-hmm. you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU mm-hmm. that it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifest in your life, and we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. You might not know this, but we have the VFN TV blog, the VFN radio blog. It's a blog where we're talking to you all the time about all the different things, God's news behind the news, some really funny things, some things like dreams that we're having about heaven and prophetic words and conversations. You know, we want to take it to the next level. And we do that on the VFN TV blog. Mm-hmm. You know, you may be hearing something on the radio. We're talking about the blog. It's the VFN TV blog. You can get to it at vfntv.com and click on the blog. And it's a button on the menu that tells you how to get there. And you go over there, and it has all these things we've been talking about in the program. You can search for it. You can even subscribe to the blog itself. If you hover over in the right-hand corner, something pops out from the right side, and it says subscribe. What that means is every time there's a new entry in the blog, it will go into your email, whatever your email account is, and it'll be sitting there on your computer. What we do also with that is quite often that whatever we were talking about on the radio that day about that particular topic in that segment, you have an MP3 link right in there. So you got the videos of what we're talking about. You have the pictures of what we're talking about. You have the resources. You know, sometimes we're talking about something, you need to find out where it was that heard from. Mm-hmm. And you also can click on the link and you begin to hear it just like an MP3. It will play right on your iPhone. You can share it with your Facebook friends. It's a great way. You know, you can hear the word of wisdom for that day, and you can take that link, copy it, and put it on your Facebook and share it with your friends, and all those people will be encouraged. There's so many things available for you on the VFN TV blog. It's the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program blog. Just go to vfntv.com and click on the blog.
Welcome back to the conclusion of the VFN Radio Extra Hour. I got with me in the studio is Pat Hamilton and Derek Grice, and I'm Greg Lancaster, your host. You know, we're coming to the last couple of moments. Oh, my goodness. I just looked up the Facebook, and I see Brother Kilpatrick and his grandson, Zach.
Oh, cool.
That is so cool. So good to see you. Dude, you've been working out, man. Talking about Zach.
Yeah. I know you weren't talking about
him. No. Oh, my goodness. What a great pitcher. I love Brother Kilpatrick. Yeah, I really love him. Here we're coming to the end, you know, of and it flies, right?
Yeah.
Now it makes sense when we're talking about, you know, we talked about we have the hear-hears, the do's, and the hear-do's. And there's one other thing we're going to be adding to it really soon. It's called hoodoo. There's a lot of hoodoo going on in the church. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What do you do? And then talk about the gifts. And so we are our gifts. And so we begin to identify people by what they do. That's mm-hmm. who they are. When I think about, you know, Kirk Franklin, people were looking at him like hoodoo, and he was dying. He was into all kinds of sin, and everybody just looked at his gift. And they don't care as long as you can sing, as long as you can do what you do. You know, that's who they think you are.
Yeah.
But you're a man like everybody else is a man. Maybe even more of a man because God gives you a gift, so he's going to really humble you. You know what I'm saying? You're going to know. And so he was traveling around, he was singing, and you know, everybody was just worshiping God, and never thought about the man behind the gift. And there's so many people that just talk about, you know, I'm a prophet. Mm. It's like, well, you just treated me like trash. And so I really don't care what your gift is right now.
Yeah.
You know, that you first have to, you know, people don't care what you know until they know how much you care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one particular person said, you know, I had to treat him that way because I was a prophet. And the man goes, no, you treated him that way because you're mean.
Right.
And that was this hoodoo going on in the church where, you know, we are what we do instead of sons and daughters of God.
That's right.
You know, and of course, the way to fix that dilemma is to begin to be family, and to get the context of understanding that I am a son, and that's my identity, a son of God, a daughter of God, and as a byproduct of my relationship with him, that I serve him, and he gives me a gift to use in the context to edify the body. And I never identify myself by my gift, and that's why when someone's asked to don't use their gift right now, they don't feel like they just lost everything in their life because they know they're a son or a daughter. But when you think you are what you do, when somebody says you can't teach, then you just fall to pieces. That's called hoodoo, you know? Or, you know, they say, you know, we just don't want to hear a prophetic word right now. Right now you got to start treating your wife better. And they just are like, oh my goodness, the church rejected me. No, they corrected you. You know, that's not rejection. That's called correction. But if you don't feel comfortable as a son, then it's hard to relate to correction. And so then we start throwing up our gifts and go, look what I do. And we start doing a song and a dance and a cane, and you do all this kind of stuff because you're wanting to be accepted. So you're flaunting your gift. And the reality is that many people are going to come to the Lord that day and say, I flaunted my gift. Look at my gift. And he said, but I never knew you. That's hoodoo. Mm-hmm. They thought they were what they did, and they weren't. Jesus called it evildoer. Even though they prophesied correctly, even though they did cast out the demon, even though they did have all the preaching and the teaching and all the different stuff, and even people came to know Jesus. Listen, people come to know Jesus because of Jesus, not because of you.
Yeah.
God draws people to himself. He sends people out, and you tell them about him, but it's him that convicts the hearts. It's him, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts people of sin. And shares forth the love of God. You can't force somebody to have a relationship with God. God has to encounter them, and they have to encounter God, but he will do it. But you got to be careful that you realize it's not a hoodoo going on right here. Mm-hmm. It's all about Jesus. And he has this great idea. It's correct. Mm-hmm. Jesus does. The church is all about him. Seeing that it's his body, you would think it would, you know, it's about him. And so you have the here, people who hear and hear again, right? That was so good. I'm going to come back and hear it again. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
20 years. I want to hear it again. You know, I just go crazy with that. I was like, I got to do something at some point. And then you have the do's, right? You know, they do and do again, but they don't have time to hear God. They don't have time to hear his voice. No time to spend in God. You know, those are like, you know, hear, do. And now you got the hoodoos, people who think they are, but what they do. Mm-hmm. But then God's looking for the hear do's, ones who hear the word of God and do it. He said they're blessed in all they do. And James, I'll tell you what, we're coming to the end of the extra hour. Derek, we loved having you on VFN radio with us. I know that all of our listeners are going to just love hearing you. All of our previous encounters in the wilderness with all of our sons and fathers and mentors, we want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on in your life. We want to encourage you and let you know that it may have stopped when you left the woods, but God's going to pick it up where it was left off. Mm-hmm. God bless and have a wonderful, wonderful day. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can get the 24/7 loop at VFNTV.com, VFNTV.com, or on your phone application in your app store. God bless. Also, don't forget about the Marathon Weekend, 24/7 on the Marathon Weekend. All this week's program will play back-to-back starting at 9 a.m. Central Time and all the way to our Monday's program. God bless and have a wonderful weekend.